Here we go. Rolling sound. Quiet.
It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering and Stone Leaf Remodeling.
Good morning. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, or at least that is my name for right now.
What are you doing? Are you planning on changing
it? It's I don't know. I'm thinking I'm moving so fast and things around me are moving so quickly. I might just have to go to a one word name.
Oh, like Madonna, but right? Not Madonna.
But you can't just use Philip. There's not enough there.
How about if we just say, can we just call you DC? How about just Coach?
Coach. Yeah, that might work. Yeah. Where's Coach?
Coach.
That might work.
So what's up
My family is never going to buy into that.
No, they're not going to.
That's so not going
to
happen.
To your kids, you are one word.
In fact,
Dad.
Right, they're rolling. I can hear them rolling their eyes as we speak right now. I can hear them doing that.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. Summer's in full swing.
Oh, I love it. Don't you?
I do. And like I said, things are moving at the Design Coach a mile a minute. I feel like every week we are... the store is doing really well and it's finally in season. So we're getting lots of great traffic to connect with everybody. Being open Tuesday through Saturday has been wonderful for us as a way to, just sort of let people know kind of what we're up to. And it's been a lot of fun. I feel like, there are some people who maybe lament this time of year because it's so crowded and so busy and but I enjoy it.
I do too.
I like all the activity. I like seeing new people come in every weekend.
I do too. I love the
and seeing people, maybe seeing customers and thanks to everybody who has stopped in since we've been open from the beginning of May because it's been so great to just reconnect with people who maybe you haven't seen, but maybe you see them once a year.
Exactly.
We've got a lot of people, especially from like places you wouldn't imagine.
Really?
Not just Milwaukee and not just Chicago or not just Madison, which are kind of like, those are the nice feeder, larger cities that kind of come into our universe. But like we have a very loyal following from, Northwest Indiana,
I
would have never known. But like this, we have a lot. We send furniture out that way and we've had people bring trucks and load up stuff from our shop and take it away. And
Yeah,
I don't know what's happening there, but apparently the coach is reaching down there.
Well, you are Coach.
We'll take it.
Absolutely.
We'll take it. Anyway, but things are moving pretty quickly on our end. I mean, a lot of remodels.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of something's like, in the air on remodels.
Complete over. Like, what is the most common denominator?
They're all over the map. I can't even give you like one particular area or room that is any hotter than any others. I think that right now, maybe no more emblematic than at my home. Listen, I've been talking about my exterior reworks ad nauseum on this program for how many weeks now, and I'm still not done because every week I add a new layer. And then something very interesting happened to me this
week. What's
that? Well, Julie has been seeing me primarily take the lead on the exterior planting of making selections. And so my latest introduction was met with a less than enthusiastic, maybe more of, I'm going to call it a tepid kind of response.
Really?
Here's the thing. I have planted my major annuals, or I brought those in that I think I want to include. I've done my major pots. I've done a lot of that already. But now it's time to start looking at some of these areas where we've ripped out some old bushes and put in some new ones. And I was looking for some of these more permanent seasonal flowering, we're going to call them, for lack of a better term, shrubbery. I'm going to say that one more time. Shrubbery. That you bring in that like flowers. And, remember I told you I was taking a deeper dive. Like I'm learning a lot. So
yes.
I'm literally going to the garden center and I'm studying. I'm reading all the tags and I'm looking stuff up on my phone and I'm going home and I'm researching.
That's essential, so they don't die if they need a lot of sun.
This is true. I mean, if you're going to care for something, I probably did more research on these plants than I did on having kids, okay?
Oh, okay.
No, come on. Let's be honest. They give the dad a book. They go, read the what to expect before you're expecting. And I'm sure that there are some guys who read it. I used the force, okay?
The force?
The force is my previous upbringing from my parents.
Oh, okay.
As a way to parent.
Okay, sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Everybody does
that. I didn't feel like I needed any specific
just you being a kid.
Well, no, because I figured I was a human. To be a probably am competent enough to raise another human, but I'm not a plant. So I don't know specifically what these organisms need to survive. So I've done a lot of studying. So I studied up and I chose rhododendron. Do you know what that is?
The what?
Rhododendron.
Yes, I should know.
Rhododendron.
I
mean, it's like a flowering shrub.
Yes, yeah.
You know, lavender rhododendron. Right. There's red rhododendron. There's all these kind of rhododendrons. Well, basically, I guess, you know, I brought them home and I did the pre-placement. You ever do that?
Like, oh, yeah.
You place them in the garden and mm-hmm. you kind of determine whether or not that's going to be the right spot for them.
Yes, it's kind of like...
Yeah, based on shade and sun and water and all this other stuff, right? And I was really excited about them, and I called up Julie, and I'm like, hey, I just want to let you know, I think I found the shrubbery that might, you know, fill some of the spots in this thing, in our blank area where we ripped out a bunch of really bad prickly shrubbery.
It was, oh, I hate the...
They were nasty. They were just nasty.
We have some of those in front of our house. They're just like, oh.
Well, they're like...
Just gnarly.
No, but they're like prison bushes. They might be the last line...
Prison bushes.
They might be the last line of defense after the barbed wire.
You're
this is
right.
What I'm saying. Like, you get over the razor wire, you get over the fence, you dodge the bullets, but then you still hit prickly shrubbery.
You go back like it could just be like shrubbery.
They do. They look like the last line of defense in penitentiary landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm right there with
you. So we pulled them out, and I figured the rhododendron. I'm like, okay, flowers, shrubs, and then it just kind of goes green, which is fine. I'm fine with that. I don't need it to be like flowery all year round. In fact, very few plants do that, right? Like mm-hmm. flower year round. And I brought them home, and I'm like, oh yeah. She goes, well, what'd you get? I'm like, I got rhododendron. And there was like, you know, remember I told you there's like
yes, the front door face.
I got rhododendron silence.
Mm.
I got like, oh.
Uh-oh.
Well, they don't bloom for a very long period of time, and then they go green. I'm like, no. They bloom fine. They bloom just enough to enjoy the spring, and then, you know, maybe they get you into early summer, and you're on to something else. I mean, by the time I forget about the rhododendron, you know what? I've moved on to mums. This is what I'm saying. I don't, you know what I mean? I'm not looking for the rhododendron to carry my year.
Right.
Visually in my garden. I'm just not.
Not a carrier.
No, it's a rhododendron. It does its thing. It's like a daffodil. Like,
yes.
You see a daffodil?
Bloom.
Daffodils are like the party guest that comes early and then leaves, like, before the party gets going.
Oh, I understand.
Like, daffodils come in and then they're gone.
Then they're gone.
Before you know it.
And they leave
they're
you
like a ghost
more.
Flower. Okay? Right. Daffodils, I don't even truly know if daffodils exist. I know that I've seen them and then I come back. And then they're gone. And then I haven't seen them again.
Like, where do they go?
Right. And depending on the season, tulips are a little bit like that, except they cut those and put those in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, neither here nor there. Back to the rhododendron. I got rhododendron silence. And I was like, okay, did I pick something wrong? Like, is it wrong?
What's wrong?
And then I got a little chippy about it. I was like, okay, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to plant them because I think they're the right thing. So I kind of coached myself up a little bit. Like, I know she's not totally thrilled about them, but you know what? I researched this. I put the work into it. I'm just going to do it. Well, yeah, I mean, I know she's not going to rip it out of the ground. You know what I mean? So I plant them. Lo and behold, then, like about a couple days later, I walk in and there's all of these annuals that she's purchased to do like small planting as the next layer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think she wanted to kind of get involved.
Oh,
I'm thinking I think I might have missed an opportunity to involve her in my garden selection. And I so now I feel bad, but I don't feel totally bad because I got rhododendron silence. Like, is this a weird dynamic?
Yeah, you should have probably asked about.
I should have, right? Yes, so from a spousal perspective, that would have been
Who's
a good thing.
Who's done it in the past?
Me.
Oh,
mostly.
Okay.
That's
you
fair.
Say mostly,
I mean,
but.
Mostly. Okay. Honestly, kind of 80-20. Maybe 90-10, especially as it relates to watering.
Well, that's a whole different story.
Upped her game.
Did she?
She did. Okay, so normally I do the planters on the shed. I came home. She did the planters on the shed. She bought all the annuals to do that. Then she beautifully planted. I mean, I got to give her props, right? She beautifully planted in front all of these great annuals that are sort of in front of my rhododendron, which I'm fine with. My rhododendron stand tall. The annuals, maybe this is why it works. It works because we just do the dance and the ballet. But she upped her game. So kudos to Julie, I guess, for, I don't know if it was, I don't know. I'm not quite sure the motivation.
I'm not sure if you're going to be in the doghouse after this.
I don't know.
Or if you're coming out of the doghouse.
Oh, here's what I do know. The effort was fantastic. And then I did what all good husbands should do. I just did the cleanup. Like there were just cartons everywhere, and I'm like, you know what? I got this. Like I got it. She worked really hard to do it.
It is hard work.
It's the same rule in the kitchen. I'm okay being the cleanup guy. So listen, speaking of cleanup, on today's show, we're going to be talking about, listen, this is the season to remodel. I have to be honest with you. You've got a lot of choices of rooms that you can probably make an improvement on. But we're going to share with you today a little bit of knowledge from HGTV and a little bit of personal knowledge from the design coach on the best ways to max out even the smallest remodel to add improvements and value to your home. So I want to talk about that on today's show. Stay with us. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Stoneleaf Remodeling.
Listen, I'm not saying, Mel, I'm not saying I'm really happy that she, you know, helped me in the garden. I'm just wondering, like, if it was in the kitchen, which is really honestly, like, when she's on a roll in the kitchen, there's a part of you that stays a little bit out of the way because she's got a thing, you know, there's a whole ballet she's doing.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's amazing at it. And you're just going to get in the way. But like if I walked up to the meat on the grill, or not the grill, let's just say she was sauteing something at the stove. If I started grabbing spices and just started like flavoring something, right?
Right. You don't do that.
I don't know that she would do that.
But I don't think you do that in the kitchen.
But it's okay for her to season the garden with her annuals in front of my rhododendron because it's a shared garden. Is that kind of the spousal rule?
It probably needs something in the front. And I agree.
Listen, it totally needed what she did. I'm just saying, like, I didn't ask about the rhododendron. She didn't ask me about the annuals. I shouldn't care. And I don't think that I do, but I find it curious. I think it's great. Now I'm going to have to ask her about it.
I'd be happy.
You know she's listening. She knows she's listening right now.
I know. I'm sure. I'm surprised she's not texting you.
I shut off my phone. This is how this happens. Oh, but anyway. So I'll more on that when I get back. I'll find out the motivation.
Excellent.
In fact, you know what she said to me?
What's that?
She said, I must not have been very good on the radio because you haven't had me on your show in over a year.
Do you know that?
She's not happy. She's like, well, I must not have been. She did the whole like spouse thing where you're like, well, I must not have been any good. So therefore you didn't want to have me back. So then I was like, no, you don't understand. Like sometimes our schedules right on Sundays are hard. And so you know what I'm saying? Like, now I got to have her on. No, but now if I have her on, it looks like I'm having her on because I didn't have her on. So, do you see what I'm saying? This is what happens to men. You don't ask something, then you ask, and then you're only asking because you didn't ask. Now I gotta have her on, right?
Yes.
And I'm gonna have to take whatever whipping verbally she wants to give me, or teasing, I should say, right? That she wants to give me for not having her on the show because she has a lot to add. Listen, the kid's got a lot to say, okay? I love her to death. I do. She's the love of my life. She's my world, okay? Along with those kids. All I'm saying is I'm gonna have her in and I'm just gonna have to sit here and take it that I didn't, right? I should
I
just
don't
get
know
it
if
over.
She's ever.
Not with you.
Not with me.
I don't think so.
It's been a while, right. So.
So then, but then I couldn't say to her, like, well, what are you going to talk about? Like.
Why not?
She has a lot to add to lots of things. She can just be here.
Yes, exactly.
But the fact that I didn't have her on, right? So I'm thinking I got to get more, I think including her has to be a little bit more in my sphere now, mm-hmm, creatively.
In your realm. I'm looking forward to Julie joining us next week.
Okay. You just laid the gauntlet down. Anyway, did you know that there's life at the Design Coach?
There's life
hatching at the Design Coach.
What do you mean?
Did you go onto our Instagram this week?
We have a bird's nest. What are you talking about?
And if I have any bird experts out there in my listening audience, if you go to my Instagram, the Design Coach, there's these white eggs. I've never seen them before.
Don't touch them.
I didn't. I didn't.
I know, don't.
But I was informed by Kristen that we had well, that we had a bird sanctuary apparently in one of the planters. One of the hanging baskets outside the shop. And so we've been very carefully like watering around it.
Yes, you have to be.
You know what I mean? Because I don't want that. Well, I don't want their forest to die.
No.
You know, I got to keep the, apparently I have a tenant. I got to make sure I got
collect rent.
Well, no, I just got to make sure that I keep the property up. You know what I mean? Now that I got these birds living in there. Because the other day I watered and this bird came flying out and I felt like I was in an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yes.
I saw this thing coming at my face and I almost lost
the
it.
The birds. I love that movie.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, oh, and you know how birds, mama birds are around eggs.
I know.
Like, I don't want any
Some
part of that.
Are, right.
That thing's like a 500th of my size.
It's a mama.
And
no
it could probably
it
still
is.
Take me
yeah.
if it wanted to. Those yes. things are, they can go crazy. So we've been very carefully watering around
yeah.
it. But anyway, there's this beautiful picture that she took on Instagram of these wonderful eggs. So how long do they take to hatch? Do you know anything about that?
No,
like
I'm not a bird
thing.
Expert.
I got to find that out.
But no.
All right. If I have any bird experts, please email me. Philip with 1L at thedesigncoach.com. Let me know, A, what eggs these are. B, if I need to do anything, I don't want to neglect another thing that someone's going to call me about. Like, oh.
It's probably going to take a few weeks.
Well, I would imagine they're not like microwave eggs. You don't just like, you just hatch them. You know what I mean? Like, there's
Google.
An embryo's in there working away at whatever they. What do you mean? Why did you say ew?
I don't know.
Well, they're chicks.
Word.
They're in the egg doing whatever chicks in an egg do.
Yeah.
Grow.
Yes.
Until they break out.
You should Google it. And that will tell you the truth about, like,
you know what?
You would
this
seek.
Is it. It solves all problems. I don't need any experts for the show to call me. I'll just Google everything. That's what it's going to come down to. We're not going to ask each other any questions anymore. There's going to be no interviews. We're just going to Google everything. Like today's topic, like Googling, you know, the things that actually add value to your home from a remodeling perspective. So that's what we're talking about today. I'm actively involved in several remodels that are currently unfinished.
Why are you chuckling about that?
Because I'm laughing because it's another hot button with my wife is that I'm working on Luke's bathroom downstairs. It's this additional bathroom that was actually framed out that we did some mechanicals to, but we've just been so busy that I haven't really been able to focus on it. And finally, I think the month of June is clearly the month that we're going to begin to drive on this. But between her not appearing on the show and her hijacking the annuals in front of the rhododendrons, which was fine. I didn't care that she hijacked the planters. She did a great job. I'm just saying, like, did I not get
it's
to it?
A strong
it?
Word
what?
To say something about your wife did hijack.
If I went into that kitchen and I started spicing away,
yeah, absolutely.
I would have hijacked the meal.
Oh, yeah.
And she'd have been
it's
like, what are you doing?
Different.
You like, you know, it's completely, it totally is different. But in my mind, it's the same because I'm a guy. This is how this works. So now the reason I'm laughing is because it's another hot button. Like, how many things can I mention in this morning show, right? That when I go back home, when I'd be like, hey, can we talk about the show today?
I didn't realize it was going to... I thought that you were in a good mood when you came in. All of a sudden, all these things are... No,
I'm
you're in a good mood.
I'm in a fine mood. She just... Listen, she knows who she married.
Yeah.
Please. Are you kidding me? So, anyway, love you, babe. All right, so listen, HGTV.com is going to be at least a guiding... force and one of the things that we're talking about is this is from the real estate and it's top home updates that pay off from HGTV.com and I have a lot of offshoots to this because one of the things that I'm seeing a rush to remodel and I'm in the design build business, so I think that that's great. I think people wanting to get and you know get physical with their interiors, which by the way, I you have heard me be a outspoken proponent of getting physical with your interiors, attacking your space, even doing it yourself because it can save you, you know, a lot of money doing it that way, provided that you can stick with a plan and that you've picked the right material and that you followed the right process. So I'm okay with you being a do-it-yourselfer, provided that you've followed the right steps in design and construction to be able to get you to where you need to be. The problem is, Mel, that I'm seeing so many people, and clients are not immune from this, really start remodels sort of really quickly without a plan. And my fear is that as we get into, you know, these things tend to have a little bit of a snowball effect.
Sure.
Meaning you see your friend doing a remodel or you see someone else doing a remodel and then you're like, well, I really kind of need to do remodel. And then am I wrong? Like there's a little bit of like this psychology of like, well, everybody's kind of getting into the rehab mode. So I kind of want to do that
too.
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah.
Because there's always the latent, oh, we need to fresh up thing. That's
yes.
in the back of everyone's
yeah.
mind. I mean, in the back of everyone's mind is, oh, there is a room in your home. You pick it that probably needs an update, right? And so what I wanted to talk about today was the fact that I'm a little concerned and I, you know, I'm really close to starting these 2-minute coach ups via video, which I think starting on July 1st. I think we're going to release the first one. But these coach ups are going to be me kind of giving it to you real, me giving you sort of like my honest read on some things that I'm seeing where I really feel like you guys might benefit from some of my coaching via video versus on the radio. It's just a different way for me to communicate with you, right? I mean, there's definitely physical expressions that you get to see, Mel, every Sunday, like I'm doing right now, right. That they don't get to see.
Exactly.
So they hear the voice, but they don't get to see me kind of really being me in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the coach-ups, I think, are going to solve a lot of that, but they're going to be quick, guys. They're going to be, you know, nuggets, and they're going to be advice, and they're going to be tips and commentary, basically, that really just gives you... I don't know, from those of us who are really riding in the front car of the roller coaster of remodel, what you should really be paying attention to and what you should be expecting. And what I'm finding is in this rush to remodel, I'm finding that people are making some bad choices. I'm finding that they're getting into remodels without a plan, which, by the way, remodeling can be tricky enough because of the unexpected things that come up during a remodel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people in older homes opening up walls, finding pipes that they never knew were there, or finding things that they didn't. that they needed that aren't there, right?
Right.
Like insulation or things like that. So I guess as we go through today's show, what I wanted to talk about is a little bit of I want to frame the mindset, right, of how to really make progress in your space on these remodels that add value. In other words, how to strategize your strategy. In other words, how to really put a plan together to attack these in a way that doesn't throw your entire home into unfinished categories of projects that haven't been completed. And I'm finding a lot of that. And I'm going to try on today's show to help you avoid that. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1. Sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering. Tile, stone, laminate, vinyl, and more.
Oh, Mel, am I going to be in trouble at home? I don't want to be in trouble. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything bad.
No, you didn't.
I didn't.
No.
Because, no, I love that she took the initiative.
You just kept digging. You know, you just kept scratching at first. And
no,
then
but then I kept
digging.
Bringing up topics that were sourced. You know what?
So
here's
you might
the thing.
Want to pick up some flowers on the way
yeah,
home.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do that. But here's the other thing I'm going to do. Good. I'm chalking it up to ripping off the Band-Aid. If I could, let's just get it all out there.
You might just want to stay.
I didn't have her on the show. She planted the annuals instead of me planting them, which is... Kind of, I felt like that was my turf.
Yeah.
No pun intended. But I realize
but
it's not. It's
acres.
Our turf.
There's a lot there.
And then she mowed the grass, and I like mowing the grass. Maybe she's taking over.
Wow.
I don't know.
Mowing the grass is so therapeutic sometimes.
I know. I tried to mow again over the remo, and then I mowed they left me the paths. See, they always leave me the things they don't want to do.
Philip, you can come up now to the hole that you're digging.
I'm going to stop while I'm behind.
I have a question.
While I'm far behind.
Go ahead. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You're talking about remodeling.
Yes.
Before this last break. And if you're remodeling a home and you have several rooms, say the kitchen one, bathroom, and maybe a bedroom or whatever, another room, is there a certain place that you should start, like out of all of those three? Should you start, like, say, in the kitchen? Is there, or does it matter?
That's a great question, and I'll answer it this way. I recently visited a client last week who bought a 1920s home
mm-hmm.
in the Geneva Lakes area.
Nice.
And they've been in it for about a year, and they did the smart thing. They lived in it for a year, kind of did the basics, got the floor refinished, did some basic things that just kind of got the house livable, which is... Honestly, what I recommend you doing when you're moving into a new home, you mm-hmm. try not to take on remodeling projects from the get-go. It can be they're stressful anyway, but then you compound that with a move.
Yes.
And then you've got the move craziness on top of the remodel craziness, and it's never a great combination,
mm-hmm.
okay? So they waited for a while, and as I was visiting with this couple who had a lot of wonderful, great ideas and a house that has some amazing bones. In other words, they were very aware, which was very inspiring. They were very aware of the possibilities of what this home could be. And it was great because I was walking with them from room to room, and as we were discussing the various projects, it just became very evident that they just couldn't focus on where they really needed to start. So to answer your question, that's absolutely the right. The first question is, where do I start?
Right.
And that answer is not the same for everyone. It's just not.
Okay.
Sometimes it's driven by a couple of things. The first factor, it's driven by money. You know, how much money do I really have to throw at a kitchen? If you can't afford to do it the way that you want to, you're better off planning it and planning it in the planning stage, really doing value engineering, really trying to find materials that you can save money on, trying to find ways to maybe, do I really need to replace that? Or can I reface that? Or can I just change that versus completely buy something, you know, get rid of it and buy something new? Or can I find a way to fix it? You know, there's a lot of things that go into some of the larger remodels, like a kitchen or like a major master bath, that sometimes you're better off kind of pre-planning it well in advance to be able to then make sure that you're really ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is nobody really does that. You know, they decide that they want to embark on a project and they do sometimes the wrong thing, which is, in this particular instance, this couple had blown up a bathroom in a remodel and then didn't necessarily know exactly what the finish line looked like. And this is
so
what I was...
explain that further. Like what...
This is what I was referring to in the front end of the show, which is I'm seeing a lot of people embark on remodels with maybe only a 30% of the plan. Maybe they buy the tile, maybe they buy the sinks.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Maybe they buy some of the material to get it going. And in the short term, I get it, guys. It makes you feel like you're making progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also kind of exciting in the beginning.
Like it is.
All the in the beginning, it's all exciting. But it's never like the HGTV show. Like at the end of the 30 minutes, it's not done.
Right. You don't go to commercial and come back.
You don't
go
to commercial and it's like, oh, it took us a long time, but look at how beautiful it is. And reveal.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that. And for some people, you're trying to fit it in when you can between your job or your kids or your active lifestyle. And it doesn't really work out the way that you thought. And then that compounds then the bad planning. Where the planning really is valuable on these larger projects like kitchens and let's call it master bathrooms. Where the planning comes in is, if you're well planned, it's easier to start and stop a project because you know very clearly within the plan where you've stopped and then where you need to pick it up again. But when you compound the selection process of doing design while you're remodeling, that's where it gets really tricky. And that's what I'm seeing. Like, oh, I busted this whole thing up, but I didn't know that I needed a new valve inside the wall, but I want to do a new shower head, but I didn't realize that I need to buy the valve, but I went out and I bought the faucet. And I bought the shower kit and I bought the trim kit, but I didn't know to buy the valve. And the plumber comes over and says, well, this is great. You don't really have a valve. I got to go get one, right?
Right.
Sometimes that plays into the schedule. Sometimes it doesn't. And then you don't motivate your contractors by not having all of the material there. Remember, the best thing you could do when you're in a relationship with contractors who you're managing as the general is to make sure that all of the material and your plan is solid. Or else you put them in a very uncomfortable position. You put your contractors in the position of having to play pseudo co-general, designer, to a certain extent.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And contractor simultaneously. And they're looking at this and they're saying, oh, well, I got to help her find the valve and I got to...
Well, and then
he or she does not know what they really want, and they haven't really thought through the remodel, and I don't know if I can bid this correctly. And so what you're finding is a lot of contractors who are showing up on the job site, and they're not going to tell you this. And being a former contractor, I can say this. They're going to show a lack of interest in your project because they really just don't want to tell you they don't want it. And the reason they don't want it is because you're not well planned.
I see.
Because if you're well planned and you have all your ducks in a row and you've got everything that you need to complete this remodel, contractor's like, hey, I can get in and get out and I can make my money and I can make my profit and I can satisfy and I can create a happy customer.
Right.
Because
because
you've done your part of the contract, which is you have to make sure you have all of the material and all of the T's crossed and I's dotted, right? Before you invite the contractor to come into your wacky little remodel world and decide that now, you know, they don't need side jobs. Do you follow me? Like,
right.
The labor market the economy right now is crushing from a remodel perspective. People are very busy. And, you know, we're very lucky at the Design Coach that we have a network of people who have been with us a very long time. And they make our designs happen. Builders are the same way. Established remodeling companies are the same way. So if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you're competing with the labor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the guys who all of these other remodelers are using. So you're competing against them. And, well, to be honest with you, they have more leverage. They have more work. And so timelines are going to, you know, who's going to get the phone call? You know, if there's a remodeler out there, or if there's a subcontractor out there who does a lot of work for a remodeler, a general contractor, he's most likely going to be calling that person back before he calls you.
I see.
And so if you are not well planned, you're already at a disadvantage before you've done a thing. Also, if you've done some of the demo yourself without a plan, sometimes that's even worse also, because then you have to live with the big pause.
Exactly.
Which is a lot of what we're seeing also.
Really?
So as I frame this discussion for everyone, as we talk about the types of remodels that add the most value to your home, I wanted to frame it in such a way that says, hey, listen, you got to do your homework on proper planning and material. You've got to order the material, you have to have it there, and you have to put a checklist together for yourself. There are several different websites, and one of the websites is This Old House. This Old House actually has checklists for certain types of remodels that you can go to.
Oh, fantastic.
Where you can use that as a way to sort of checklist, do I have everything that I need to make it happen? And in some cases, they're even hiring companies like mine, not to actually do the build, or not even to really do the design, but actually hire us hourly to just give them consultation to make sure they're getting the right material and they're doing everything in the right order. And so when it comes to larger remodels, like you were mentioning, with kitchens and bathrooms, pre-planning is an absolute must. And I mean like months in advance. Like if you know you're going to take a remodel on this fall, you better start planning that kitchen and bathroom right now.
Mm-hmm.
And start with the items within that room that have the longest lead time. Typically, that's cabinetry. Cabinetry can have the longest lead time of any of these major remodels, so you got to start there. Are you moving mechanicals? Are you moving the shower? Are you moving electrical? If you're doing so, then you have to know where you want to put it. It's not enough to bring the electrician and go, well, what do you think? Well, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, the minute he or she says to you, well, what do you want? And you don't know. Right there, all of a sudden begins you can feel the creative excitement leave the room. And the interest in that project definitely starts to wane. That contractor will not tell you that, but the design coach will. I will tell you that. Nothing is more deflating than going on a consultation and having the client go, well, I don't really know. I started this, but I don't really know what I want, but I want it finished in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. That's not, now you've just sold me a line of crazy that now I have to reverse engineer to get your project done and get completed. How excited are you about that project? If they've just completely worked it out of order.
Exactly.
And so our job oftentimes is to fight for the integrity of the process, because through good process gives you a good creative outcome. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that process just a little bit more. And then we're going to talk about these remodels that you absolutely want to try to tackle that add really good instant value to your house that might be more attainable and easier than you could have possibly imagined. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I get hot about this, don't I?
Yeah, you're a little warm.
You keep working stuff. People, you keep working stuff out of order, and then you wonder why you can't get anything done. And trust me, oftentimes it's not just with your remodels, okay? It's kind of with your life.
Why?
Too.
What else are you talking about?
I'm just saying, there's a lot of correlations that I make on this show between the way that you approach lots of projects that don't involve design or remodeling, okay? And sometimes it's friends, and sometimes it's people, and sometimes it's jobs, okay? I'm just saying that a lot of things are solved with great planning. And the key thing is not over-planning. In other words, not to the point where the planning causes you paralysis on creating action, right? But that you create a momentum because you have a good plan that kind of sustains you through what I'm going to call the highs and lows of the project. And one of the things that you and I talked about off air just before, and I have to mention this, is, you know, I see people all the time. Listen, I want to do a million things to my house too. I do.
Yes.
Like every great homeowner, you have a vision for where you think you want this home to go. And I have preached on any number of shows on this radio station about wanting to make your current home your dream home. Rather than thinking about your dream home that you may or may not live in someday, why not try to create your dream home now? But it's a journey. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And we're not a very patient people anymore.
No.
We're just not. We don't understand that concept in a lot of instances. We in fact, some of us absolutely just flat out reject it. And that's in construction, when you're building things with your hands, that it doesn't do and doesn't run at the pace you want it to all of the time. partly because you're collaborating on a project with other people, but partly because you're taking too much on at any given time. So let's start here. Let's start with, you talked in the last segment about the kitchens and bathrooms. Let's just say you're not ready to do those, but you still want to add value to your home. Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if I go through this HGTV blog, which is, you know, all of these, you know, top 15 home updates that pay off. Yes, you're going to get every ounce of money back and then some on your master bath remodel. But it's going to cost you a little bit to do it. You're going to get every ounce of money and then some back on a kitchen remodel. You are. There's no doubt about it that it's going to hold its value and it's going to help you sell the home. The problem is if a home has great bathrooms and kitchens, but the rest of it kind of falls apart or it's been neglected, oftentimes that's not enough. So sometimes it's easier to begin with the small stuff because you learn a lot about the way you approach a project. It's so safe and so recommended by this by this professional to sometimes start small.
So I have a quick question for you. My co-host in the morning is remodeling a bathroom.
Yep.
Has a bathtub.
Yep.
And has a small linen closet behind the bathtub. His contractor said, oh, hey, I can expand. You can get a larger bathtub, but they would lose the linen closet, the only closet in that bathroom. Is that going to help resale value? They're not planning on selling, but what is your thought on that? I'm like, oh, because he was talking about this. If it's an older home,
I always feel like storage is at a premium.
Storage, yeah.
So I'm always hesitant to gain square footage at the expense of storage.
Okay.
What I have often found is it's a half and half. I can get you a slightly larger bathroom, but I can keep part of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
That I have seen work.
Okay.
Wherever I lose it completely, mentally, on some of these contractor recommendations is the fact that this is an example of a contractor mm-hmm. playing designer while they're in the midst of the project. Right. Now, listen, there are some contractors that are great at it. And right. there are some that are not. So all I'm saying is I don't think that it's a good idea to ever begin a project without sort of having the discussion in advance. So I guess it depends on when this conversation took place. If the conversation is taking place during the demo,
uh-huh.
then sometimes it's fine. If it takes conversation before they've busted it up, that's actually better.
It was after.
But when it's after, then you're being asked to make a quick decision to design on the fly. Sometimes that works, but most of the time I found that it doesn't.
Okay.
So this is why I say if you're going to start some of these do-it-yourself projects and add to the value of your home, start small. Also, it's summer. Start with the outside.
Oh, good point.
Add the deck. Redo the curb appeal. You know, do the plantings. Fix the paths, right? Break up the concrete, learn how to reset some stone. Like, these are just physical labor types of activities that are easy do-it-yourself projects that don't involve internal construction. Sometimes, especially this summer, one of the easiest places to start is to sort of work outside in. You're not going to do that in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to do that exactly. late fall, and you're not going to do that early spring. So this is the time of year, if you really want to try your hand at doing some do-it-yourself projects, start small, start outside. That's the first piece of advice that I have. The second piece is that HGTV goes on to say that the number one, the minor bath remodel is very popular. This could not be more true. Minor remodels are a great way to make regular progress on your space without having to break your bank and without having to have it take a lot of time, energy, and effort. In a bathroom, you have a small bathroom, you want it to be more charming, add wainscot. Replace the toilets. Okay. The pre-made vanities that are out there where you can get the sink, the countertop, and the basin, and the cabinet all in one
mm-hmm.
have never been easier to grab off of the shelves from Lowe's. You can do a quick guest bathroom makeover. And honestly, if you have a decent contractor, it will take you no longer than a week. Start small. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Add molding. Wherever, if you live in one of those really 90s builds where it's all drywall and all oak, and all honey oak, and more drywall, and big expanses of drywall with no millwork, add millwork. When people come and view your home for eventual resale, not only do you get a chance to enjoy it, but it thickens the overall look of the build. It just says you paid attention to the details. And sometimes adding crown is so easy to do. I mean, if you pre-finish the material, if you buy it and you finish it in your garage, and you pre-finish the material, you can have a carpenter come over and they can put the crown up in a day. It doesn't take a lot of time, energy, right, and effort. In fact, if you're at all handy and you want to buy a mitered saw, a saw with a miter box, you can do it. Start with molding. Start with replacing the things that you know functionally within bathrooms and kitchens just don't work. So when HGTV goes on to say that the number one, you know, one of the best ones to do that they start their list is the miter bathroom model, I'm a big fan. You know, even backsplash work. You know, there's a lot of kitchens that you'll see that don't have backsplashes. Here's the key. If you know you're going to blow up your kitchen, don't bother to do the backsplash. Don't start in the wrong place. Exactly. Also, define your scope of activity. This is key. You know, there's a lot of suggestions here in this. You know, there's obviously the obvious ones are, you know, one of the ones they say is landscaping. Another one is the minor kitchen remodel. Exterior improvements like painting the front doors. Another really good one is the attic bedroom conversion. You know, do you have that extra space, right, that could be something if you wanted it to be, and that no one's currently using? That's another great place to try your hand at a remodel. Not a part of the home you're currently living in.
Very true.
It doesn't disrupt your lifestyle. If it takes you forever to finish it because of either budget or time, it doesn't really impact anyone. And when it's completed, you've added so much square footage to your space. The other one that does that too is basements. Do not underestimate, please, people, do not underestimate the value of a really good finished basement rework. It can add a tremendous amount of value to your home, but it doubles the size of the square footage in most cases, especially in some of these older homes where that foundation is the entire footprint of the first floor. But a lot of times it goes neglected.
Right.
And they also do things out of the right, they do things in the wrong order. If you know it smells damp and wet, get it water sealed. You know, do the things that save the home, right?
Exactly.
From itself, from the age of itself, and that lasts the test of time so that you can put great design and great decoration on top of those things. But when we're in a hurry to start 10 projects, or we tend to the mountain that creates in our mind visually causes a huge paralysis in us even moving forward on some of the small jobs that you know you could be doing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the small ones. Start with the ones that are attainable. Experience creative success there. And honestly, it makes the bigger projects that much easier because you have experience. You know, major bathroom remodels are not inexpensive. Neither are kitchens. So a lot of times, if you've never done a remodel before, if you're like basically like, you know, like what was that show, Property Virgins, where you're like,
yes, yeah,
you didn't even, you know, they don't know what they don't know. And that right. was part of the drama of the show. Well, don't live that drama. Start small. Bring in professional help where you think it's necessary. Know when your head is over your skis, okay? Like, just know when you know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to popular opinion, not everything can be Googled.
Gee, did I say that earlier?
You did. You said that earlier that it could be.
I was talking about bird's eggs, though.
Yeah, I know. I hear you there. Family room additions, you know, bonus room updates, things like that are sometimes more intermediate style projects. But I can say this. I am a big fan, and I have said this in the beginning of the show. I want you getting physical with your spaces. I want you to actually experience the joy, the therapeutic experience that is working with your hands. And I you know, I recently just got up back up on the ladder to start doing more of my own decorative finish work that I haven't really done in a few years. And I'm enjoying the experience with the clients, them having me be a designer who gets my hands dirty. Because there's no one, I don't think there's anyone who could craft the type of look that I'm looking for. I couldn't hire someone to do it, so I'm doing it. And there's a personal, there's a sense of connection when you build something together with someone. And when you go through that experience with them, that's the physical part of building and creating that you just can't replace. So start these projects, but start small and start with a plan. Thank you for listening this morning. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. You've been coached.